All right. Welcome, Kenzie. Welcome to the show. Like shot out of a cannon, but I kind of always am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. We were just like talking a minute ago, and then we had to stop each other because we started doing the show without doing the show.
I know. I'm like, let's save it for the episode. There's so much to talk about today.
Okay. So before we get to the thing we were just talking about, let's start with the fight last night on Netflix. And let me just say this, okay? You know, I don't think most people realize that Netflix uses Amazon's servers. And when you stop and take a look at how much power and influence these tech companies have, there's zero accountability. So what has happened? All of that money you used to spend on cable back in the day when people talked about like, oh, cable should be a la carte because we're spending, you know, cable was a scam because you would have all these channels that existed because they were lumped into carriage fees, right? Like there were certain channels that would have never stood on their own if it wasn't for the scam that was cable. Okay. But at least you had clean transmissions. So now what's happened is these tech companies have taken over. They're grabbing everybody's money a la carte through streaming, but we've kind of gone right back to the old days. So we've got low quality, both in content and in signal, like the quality of the content and literally the quality of the broadcast. And people are spending more than ever. They're spending more than ever. It's the ultimate scam. And we all knew it was going to happen. And we all accepted it. And everybody paid Netflix. And they made a ton of money. But there'll never be any accountability for that. Kenzie, if you bought something, and it, whatever it is, and it came in a box, you're getting married. If you bought something and it came in a box, okay, and you spent a ton of money for it, and it finally arrived, and you opened it up, and it was broken, you would be very, very displeased.
Of course.
That's what Netflix was last night.
So bad.
Remember when they used to do DVDs? Imagine if you ordered a DVD from Netflix in the early days, and it showed up 3 months later. That's what happened last night. They would have never grown into this. Why is it acceptable?
I know. And last night I was watching, you know, the fight, obviously, and I was checking like my signal, my router. I was like, is it my end? And then I go to Twitter and it's just blowing up like Netflix fixed your signal. Like clearly it wasn't just my issue. So I'm assuming you had the same problem too.
Kenzie, I have Spectrum Internet. Okay. I'm sitting there streaming up on TikTok. Okay. If anybody knows anything about up and down with internet, right? I'm streaming up from my little consumer grade internet connection. I'm playing Fortnite, which means I'm going up and down. All right. And I'm watching Netflix behind me. So I thought maybe at some point it was me. No, it was Netflix. I had better connectivity than Netflix. I'm streaming Fortnite. And the only thing holding me up at home, what was Netflix? Like, I had three things going at once. Netflix could, I just, like, that's what I don't understand. And there's no, because these tech companies are so big, and it's like they're not a monopoly in the classic sense, but really they are. And I would argue that Amazon is a monopoly. You know?
Well, and did you know this isn't the first time that Netflix has had an issue with live streaming?
I'm aware. I mean, this isn't the first time Netflix has had issues with their customers. Netflix, you know, has dropped the ball historically.
Like, yeah, but, you know, I watch trash TV. I watch a show called Love is Blind, and they tried to do a live reunion. I think this was like 2 years ago or something. And it like wasn't on Netflix. So, of course, you know, I go to Twitter because that's where everybody goes for real time news. And everybody's freaking out, like, what's going on? You know, we're not seeing this reunion. We've all been looking forward to it. Everybody's freaking out. And Netflix is just saying, like, please be patient with us. Please hold. Like, and it never aired. They couldn't get it to work. So, I mean, they ended up recording it and then releasing it later. But I was like, how does a company like Netflix come into a predicament like this?
Well, but do you remember the Conor McGregor fight?
Yeah.
Okay. That was on, I think, HBO Max or something. I don't remember which platform it was on. Yeah. I think it was, maybe it was Showtime. Maybe it was Showtime. Whatever it was another streaming platform. And they had the same issues. Now, combine that with the fact that everybody knows. Now, I'm not going to use the term rigged because I think that that's dramatic. You're talking about high stakes television, okay? So this is sports entertainment, not sports. The real fight was the woman's fight before. We'll get to that in a second. But I think, right? But I think, you know, we all knew walking into it that unless something, you know, unless it was an anomaly, it was more than likely going to go the distance. And I even said it on the live stream. We were walking around the park the other morning that it'll go, you know, I mean, I'm not the only one who said that, obviously. Like, it'll, if it goes the distance, it'll just be called and like on points. And I don't, I get it. It's good for business. Like, I don't even really have a problem with that because, like I just said, the real fight was the fight before it. And if they solved the connectivity issues, I think everything would have been okay. I think the bigger loser at the end of the night was the customer. And not even for the bad show. Okay, I rewatched most of it this morning. Tyson could have taken him in the first two rounds. Really, it all started to go down in the first half of round three. And then it started to taper. But there was an opportunity there, I think, for Tyson to really do it. It was never designed for that to happen. And in our heart of hearts, we all knew that. Okay, but like, is it a scam? You know, that's what I want to know. Is it a scam to sell 70 million customers on something they can't watch?
Yeah, I mean, of course it is, because, you know, we're all frustrated on the other end from, you know, signal issues. But I felt like the fight itself, regardless of the streaming service, was a scam. Like, that whole thing had to be scripted.
Yeah, but that's not a scam. That's a production. That's the difference. Like, in other words, you can't expect at the Super Bowl that whoever's performing during the halftime show isn't going to be lip syncing. They have to be. There's too much money on the line. The production has to be safe because the production has to go off. The one time we ever saw something like that not work was the Janet Jackson nipple slip. I'm serious because these things are heavily scripted and that's okay. It's sports entertainment and that's okay. But watching back at it, I mean, they just danced. They danced. Very few punches were landed. No, listen, okay, because there's a couple things to unpack here, Kenzie. And I don't think people realize, I mean, you and I are very good at what we do here. Okay, we're talking about scams right now. Okay, that's really what we're talking about. And how is it that there's no accountability for that? Do you remember the Fyre Festival?
Oh my gosh, I'm fascinated with the Fyre Festival.
So am I, because if that would have worked, it wouldn't have been a scam. That was the only difference.
Right. It would have been like another Coachella, you know.
But that sounds like so stupid to say. But literally think about that. There was opportunities along the way, despite that guy was building a house of cards, there were opportunities for him to get away with it. Like all the way up to the finish line. If anybody knows anything about that, I know we're both fascinated by it, but I bring that up because there are times in our history where things like that have gone down in the other direction and become huge successes. The iPhone's a great example of that. The first iPhone that Steve Jobs ever presented to the public when he stood on stage was hardwired. He had a wire from the phone running down his wrist up his sleeve because they couldn't get signal in the building. So everything on the screen was being piped in. Now, if Steve Jobs couldn't deliver, he would have been the Fyre Festival.
Right.
So Netflix didn't deliver last night, Kenzie. It was a Fyre Festival, but nobody cares. Nobody's saying let's have a class action lawsuit against Netflix, except for
me. They cared about the outcome of the fight.
But that's a whole different conversation, right? Because at least I will justify from that perspective. We got that fight. That ladies' fight was brilliant, and I didn't even know who Serrano was before last night. But oh my god! And did she get robbed?
That's a scam.
Well, these are all scams.
Right. But, like, that's the one.
Top 20, Kenzie. Top 20. 1 year. Top 20. Go on.
That's really what stuck with me, though, from last night. I was like, I don't even want to watch the rest of this because I felt like, to your point, Serrano got completely robbed.
She did. Pull those stats up. Yeah. Like, the stats don't lie. So,
I will say though,
what do we do about that? Like in this world, I mean, like in other words, you don't have a competitor to Netflix, really. You have these coexisting relationships. Netflix isn't going to go challenge Amazon after what happened last night. The general public isn't going to go challenge Netflix or Amazon because we need them so bad. Mm-hmm. Particularly Amazon, right? Like there was a woman forever ago.
They're not going anywhere.
There was a woman like, I don't know, 8-9 years ago who some blogger, she did an experiment where she tried to disconnect her life from Amazon for like 30 days. And when you start to realize how much Amazon is a part of our everyday lives, whether you see it or not, there were so many things she couldn't do. There were so many things she couldn't access online because they exist on Amazon servers. There were so many services she couldn't use in the real world because they relied on Amazon in one way or another. So it is truly a monopoly. And there's, I question why that's okay.
Well, I don't think a lot of people realize it to the extent where we need to escalate it and say, this, you know, this isn't okay.
You want to open up a ticket?
I'm good. Well, and yeah, I didn't realize that they, you know, they have all these servers out there either. But I mean, at the end of the day, we all know that we can't live without a lot of these services that they provide.
No, but it's a reoccurring theme.
I don't think anybody cares to escalate it.
But that's the problem, and that's the real scam.
Yeah,
that's the real scam. You know, there's a reoccurring theme in all of these conversations we've been having about influence and Disney and price hikes and all these different things. There's a lack of consumer advocacy, and at the end of the day. These companies, I understand it, they're designed to make money, and I'm a purebred capitalist. But I don't want quality to be sacrificed. Like, I don't mind paying for something if I'm actually getting what you're selling me. But somewhere along the line in our culture, it became okay to underdeliver and make that a thing. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, why does Fortnite glitch? Fortnite never glitched in the early days. Now I hit a corner in Fortnite and my guy starts stuttering. Okay. I think he's having an epileptic seizure. All right. I can't switch guns. It's stuck in the wall. What's going on over there?
So everything's lacking in quality now, but we're paying more.
I'm going to Japan.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think that happens over there, though?
No, I've been there. That coffee vending machine, Kenzie, was fixed by lunch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's market research. That's like I was in the field, man. Look, the Fyre Festival, the thing that was really fascinating about the Fyre Festival, that it was his hubris that took him out, right? His idea was good, and despite, like, he started off wanting to do that on Pablo Escobar's island, and they were like, yeah, no, okay? He shot really slick promo videos with women in bikinis and, like, what, pigs in the water or something, right, Kenzie?
Yeah, like the Bahamas experience.
Yeah, like I'll go there. Like, that's, like, what? Okay, I'll, that's my, that's,
well, they that, have, he had, like, Kendall Jenner and Bella Hadid and
That was the next thing. That was the social media marketing. Everybody put up tiles. I think they were orange tiles, right? Mm-hmm. Like across social media, they blanketed it. It was like the ultimate. So in other words, the guy had the ability.
For sure. I mean, it was living in his mind. He knew what he wanted to do.
Right. And there were many things that he did that you could say were a scam because it all started with a credit card. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But all of these things would not be considered scams if they were successful. And it sounds so obvious, but it's really not, because I think what most people don't realize in this world, that like the whole world operates under the notion of polishing the turd, right? Last night was the epitome of polishing the turd. And we accept that because as long as it's marketed well, look at movies. Movies are the ultimate scam, right? You nowadays you get a movie trailer, it looks fantastic. It looks like you're going to go see one thing or the other, and then you show up and it sucks and it goes on for an extra hour when it shouldn't, but you can't get your money back. And you're like, that wasn't the movie you showed me. I thought that guy was a main character. He died in the intro, you know?
Or they show the entire movie in the trailer and you're like, what else is there for me to see?
That's just, so it's like, but that's the culture, right? Like that's that Instagram, yeah, TikTok culture, and it's become okay. So I don't know. Look, you're the one getting married. You're the one going through, like, which is arguably in our culture, one of, other than like the holidays, one of the biggest scams is like the wedding culture. And I mean, I saw what you were dealing with and you're like, I mean, just go like buy an island.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. The wedding industry. And I also laugh at like the funeral industry. Like we need them, right? I mean, well, people could do whatever they want with their weddings and funerals, I guess. But like, at the end of the day, we're all going to pay for the things that are out there because we want it to be, you know, perfect and the best that we can get. But it makes me sick, the amount of money that I'm spending towards my wedding. And, you know, a lot of people have told me that it's very different from, you know, before COVID. But I have to wonder, like, for everybody that's gotten married, like, before COVID, was it still that expensive or has it just progressively gotten worse? I don't know. But like, what I do know is when I'm researching, you know, different vendors and organizers and things like that, like I'm just going to pay for what's out there because I don't really have another option.
Well, yeah, and even if you do, like there's this whole sense of urgency because this other person may book it. So now you got to book out and then you'd like, so maybe you settle. Here's what I want to understand. Like, so you decide to get married. That's cool. That's great. Congratulations, right? And then you go out there and you start to pay for all these things at a premium because you're getting married. I think the conversation you and I were having over text message was like you wanted to rent a venue for like a pre-party. And they were charging you like out the bum. And I was like, just tell them it's an AA meeting. You'll get it for next to nothing.
They wanted to charge me, it was a minimum of $10,000 for food and beverage, which I'm like, shouldn't that be the price of the wedding?
That's nuts.
Which, shocker, it's not. It's way more than that for a wedding. But like, that's for a 2-hour event. That's a scam.
That's not the wedding. That's not even like the rehearsal dinner. That's just like a thing, a get together.
And I'm like, at that point, I'm just going to say, hey, let's all meet up at this spot. If there's a couple random people there, who cares? But, like, I'm not paying that on top of everything else that I have to pay for.
Because they hear that you're having a wedding, so they know you're already opening up your wallet. So they're like, we can charge this. Like, but it, all joking aside, if you went in and said, I'm looking just to have, like, a family reunion, you would not get charged at the same price.
No, absolutely not.
Call them back. Call them back and be like, hello, my name is Melinda, and I'm looking for, a banquet hall for a 2-hour family reunion. It's going to be potluck. We're going to bring it ourselves. We just need the space, please. They'll be like, oh, $800.
Right. Yeah, I know.
No, I'm not even joking, because that's the way the world works.
Well, and the funny thing is that, you know, with all the different venues, they offer pricing based on the day of the week. So, you know, you can look at a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday. And a lot of people say, oh, get married on a Friday or a Sunday, it's so much cheaper. And when I was looking at the venue that I'm doing, we didn't actually have an option to do a Friday or a Saturday because of their availability for the year, which is insane. So we ended up going with a Sunday. And I was like, oh, great. Everybody told me it's so much cheaper. But we got estimates for both days. It saves me like a couple grand. And I'm like, what does that matter at the end of the day with how much I'm spending towards everything else? Like, of course, I'd love to save that money. But like, to your point, my wallet's already open. And I'm like, is $2,000 really going to like make that much of a difference?
Well, that's just it. You're spending already. So then it's the question is, are you putting good money after good money or good money after bad money? Right.
Yeah.
That's true. So my question for you is, how much pressure, and maybe you don't feel this at all, and I'm about to totally get inside your head, but how much pressure, and if I do, you kind of deserve it for some of the stuff you pulled this week on the live stream. So there's that too. But how much pressure do you feel from like the social media side of things where like all of your guests are going to post on Instagram? So there's going to be like, oh, the like sort of like the review in your universe, your circle of what Kenzie's wedding was like.
Oh, it's insane. Cause you know, obviously like from a woman's standpoint, like we're all judging each other at the end of the day.
Yes,
like,
we are. I mean,
people want to admit it or not. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's funny because I feel like my mom gives in to that a lot. And if she's inviting her friends, you know, she's going to want to have
God,
the best of the best with some things.
Sure.
Like, and I get like that too. But there's a certain point where I'm like, okay, that's absolutely absurd. You know, like we were looking at a friend's wedding from a month ago and they got married in my hometown. And my mom was like, oh, look at what they did here and look what they did there. They had a freaking rainforest on the ceiling. Like they had the entire ceiling was covered in like ivy and greens and like you wouldn't even recognize the room that they were in. And I was like, why? I mean, they have a lot of money, so I knew that they could do it, but it's like some of the things that people choose to do, I really feel like it's for an impression. It's just to show off.
Sure.
Hey, I can make my event, you know, the best thing that you've ever seen. So I don't know. I do feel like a little bit of pressure for that. You know, a lot of my friends got married a while ago. I feel like I'm like one of the last ones to get married out of my group. So it's funny because they might all be thinking back to what they did for their weddings and comparing it to mine. Like it's hard not to compare yourself to everybody else. So
well, and
for a short answer to your question, yes.
No, and from your mom's perspective, I mean, this is a big deal for her. It's the only wedding that she's going to be helping plan. So
yeah.
She's probably going to want to go big, you know, I mean.
Right. Well, and I think you and I talked about this a while ago, but I actually looked into it, Disney weddings.
Right.
So I know you and I joked about it, and I'm probably still going to pull like the April Fool's prank of waking up one morning and saying to my fiance, like, oh, I think we should just scrap everything we've done, lose the money on our deposits. Let's just go get married at Disney.
Please record that.
Look at me like I'm insane.
No, just like get the audio. Just get the audio for the podcast. And then like afterwards, he'll be like, what? He'll like have all these things. He'll be like buyer's remorse. Like, who is this lunatic?
Right.
You know?
I know.
No, but do it. It'd be great.
But it actually made me look into the pricing for everything because now that I have a baseline of what I'm paying for in Cincinnati, I'm like, oh, I'm curious what Disney weddings are like. And let me tell you, it's doable. It's not horrendous with some venues. Like they have well over, I want to say there's like 15 or 20 different venues that you can pick from across the property, but it ranges from $7,000 for a venue fee to $40,000 for a venue fee.
Jeez. It's a DVC membership.
I know. Well, and then, you know, you look at like all of the other costs that come with it, like food and beverage, that price is absolutely absurd. I better be getting a filet from, I don't know, the Chop House or whatever steakhouse is down in Orlando. But going back to the quality piece of all of this, like, what are you getting when you pay for things like this for these premiums?
It's optics. Like, it's a show. No, it's not like you're paying quality food. Everything is a show. It's all about perception, and it's got to be even worse now, like because everybody's taking pictures. It's, you know, in the old days, everybody waited for the wedding video. Now it's all like instantaneous. You know, there'll be people sitting at home.
It's on Instagram.
There'll be people sitting at home waiting to see Kenzie's wedding. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Does your mother gamble?
Yeah, she does.
Okay, so she's probably not hedging her bet on the other daughter getting married. So for her, she's probably going to want to go really, really big. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying that your sister's not likable. I just think that if she was betting,
you met her.
I love that. That's what you say every single time. Like you're not even picking up the subtleties of what I've been saying for the last 10 minutes, but that's fine. I'm just kidding. Your sister's a lovely person. I just know she can take the jokes.
Yeah, she's the best.
Also, she's been through a lot worse. She worked for Tom. So, I mean, come on, listen, she can handle, she can handle my ribs.
Right.
No, I do. I like your sister. I just joke. That's all.
Right. But, no, I know.
But also, I mean, I'm not wrong. So anyway,
Anyway,
no, it's jokes. She has my number. I shouldn't even say this, you know, because
she's going to be texting you.
I'm sure she will. It'll be all your fault because you're a pot stirrer.
Hey, you started.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, going back to my mom, though, she is an entertainer through and through. Like, she goes all out for everything that she does when we have people coming over.
Right.
Like, the holidays. I'll have to send you a picture, like, at Christmas, because her table setting is over the top. She goes to the local florist and gets all of, like, the poinsettias and the greens and everything. She has the china out. Like, this is not unusual for my wedding that she wants to go big.
Sure. Like,
I think she's been dreaming about this longer than I have. So it's kind of, like, a mix of the excitement that's been building up over the years and her just natural gift of hosting and entertaining for people.
Well, all joking aside, it is her first time helping plan her daughter's wedding. So that's got to be that's got to be feeding. And I'm sure, much like you, the organizational side of her is probably thriving. Yeah, because I can't imagine there's no similarity there. I'm just guessing. I don't know anything. I don't know your mom. So I'm sure, you know, the color-coded spreadsheets are going. I can only imagine what's happening over there.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell you, though, looking at some of these venues, though, at the Disney World property, I'm tempted. I'm going to tell you that. I'm very tempted.
No, you're not.
Can you imagine having a wedding right outside of the Epcot World Plaza, just staring at Spaceship Earth, like that picture right behind you? Oh my gosh. And then you got, this one makes me laugh, actually. I feel like this is for like, just like a special couple, like who's like, this is like a vibe. This isn't my vibe, but this is a vibe. You can get married outside of Tower of Terror.
Like, okay. I mean, like, I could see the haunted
exit.
Yeah, but like, I could see a haunted mansion wedding because of the bride and all of that. But I mean, all right. That's a little niche.
That's actually not offered here, which it might be the size of it. Like, it's funny because you can get married in the Morocco Pavilion. And I'm like, you can't fit more than 10 people back there.
Let me tell you something. I love Star Wars, but there's nothing cringier than these Star Wars weddings I see where, like, the bride and groom have lightsaber duels in front of everybody. Like, I would have such, like, if I showed up to that, I would, like, and I saw that, and again, I'm, like, the biggest Star Wars fan you'll ever meet. If I showed up to that, like, let's say you invited me to your wedding, and I had, like, this big fancy gift, and it's sitting on the table, and you and Brian, like, came out and started dueling with lightsabers, I would, like, get up, grab my gift and leave, and just that would be it. I'd be like, what are you doing? You invited all these people here, got them all
your meal.
You got all these people dressed
you
can't
up leave.
No, that's a hostage situation. I don't want to watch you play with your toys. This is supposed to be the maturation of adulthood, and you're lightsaber dueling, you losers. What is wrong with people?
Do that.
No,
I've never seen a Star Wars movie. I'm not going
to
do that.
Listen to me, though. Listen to me. Hear me out. No matter where you have your wedding, please invite Ellis.
I would love to have Ellis there. I feel like I'd have to give him like a job though, because you know, I love to make Ellis feel like he's needed there.
Well, he's always needed. I mean, that's a silly statement.
Well, yeah, but I would love to have him as like an usher at my wedding.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Like just Ellis greeting everybody, handing out like the little program. And then if you have any questions.
Wouldn't that just be the best start of the wedding? Like, everybody's so happy just because he's right there at the door with his, like, grin and his little giggle.
Okay, but can I tell you, like, here's my fantasy? Like, I get a hold of, like, all of your, like, wedding invitations and put, like, an, or, like, whatever, and put all a note in there to get everybody on the same page so that when they show up, like, everybody has 100 questions for Ellis. So the entire time when he's trying just to usher people through the door, he's getting bombarded with questions like what time is dinner? Is the bar going to be an open bar? Like, what time are they getting married? Do you think she'll say yes? Like, I just want to, like, do you know what I mean? Because to me, that would be the ultimate revenge.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cruel.
Just so like how much to like pay for like. Two lines at the bottom of the wedding invitation. What would that cost me? Assuming he's
going.
I don't
know, but I don't want to find out.
No, but because, I mean, think about this. You could subsidize your wedding with this opportunity. I could crowdfund this Ellis endeavor. That's easy. And then, you know, bada bing, bada boom. We're in business. Another scam.
Listen, with the way that things have been going with this industry, it's probably going to be like an extra $30 to just add like a sentence to the end of an invitation.
That's cheap. It's probably $30 a letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Pulling back for a second, because we have just covered a lot here in the first 30 minutes. At the end of the day, we're like conditioned to spend on these things. If you didn't get if you didn't have a wedding, if you just like ran off and got married, there would be like a lot of people that would hold issue with that because this is the thing you're supposed to do. So by design,
right.
It's
you're
a high
obligated.
Yeah. So by design, it's a high pressure situation. So not only is it high pressure, now it's high value, which makes it high dollar. And the next thing you know, like you said, $2,000 becomes nothing because you're spending all this money. And it just is, that's the scam. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, there's so many things that you don't even think about either. And, like, I've had I've had a couple family members upset that we're not getting married like, in a church. And I'm like, well, I have my own reasons for not doing that. But also, like, that adds more of a cost to things because now you have to figure out transportation to get people to, like, the reception or your wedding party. Like,
why?
There's so many extra things that, like, people don't think about because they're only thinking about what they want to see at your wedding.
You're telling me these people can't drive from their house or the hotel to the church, from the church to the venue?
They can, but like we're going to do a transportation service from the hotel to the reception because like sometimes it's just a nice thing to have.
Listen, I'm going to need to see this budget, okay? Can you send it to me as an Excel document?
You know me. I have a full Excel spreadsheet with like, I think 15 tabs on the bottom.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm not making
a cost for everything.
I'm sure people are thinking I'm making a joke. I'm going to need to take a look at this. I also want to take a look at the line item for videography.
I don't know if we're doing that or not. Just because it's not as much of a priority for me, but also trying to save money.
You know, this is probably like not maybe 2 years ago at this point. One of the viewers on TikTok's daughter was getting married at the Grand Floridian, and they invited me to live stream it. No, I'm serious. I didn't do it. I just felt uncomfortable because I just figured do all these guests really want to be on a live stream? And then also like I don't want to have to like get dressed up. Especially like in the Orlando heat, I got to put on like a tux or something. No, not for me, you know?
Right, just roasting in the sun.
No, like I'm like Ellis. Give me like a tuxedo t-shirt. That's as far as I'm going. But for you, Kenzie, I can live stream your wedding. Like what's a videographer going to cost you? Minimum $4,000. So for like $2,000, I'll live stream your wedding.
Easily.
I'll live stream your wedding. Now think of all the people that you don't have to bring to the wedding. Think about all the money you're going to save on dinners. And in many ways, it's a net positive.
Listen, if you're gonna be live streaming my wedding, though, I'm not cool with just you holding a phone, like, just free hand. Like, we're gonna need the gimbal. We're gonna need like a boom mic.
I have a video mixer. I will come in with a multi-camera setup, right? We'll have a wide shot. We'll have a medium close-up at the altar. We'll have an audience cam. So, like, I'll give you 3 to 4 camera angles. We'll do a line cut of the entire thing. So not only will we live stream it, but we'll have a piece produced in post-production. So it'll be fantastic. We'll go around.
Are you using Final Cut Pro to edit this at the end of the day?
No, I would use Adobe Premiere. Final Cut Pro is extinct. But listen, you're laughing, but you know how many weddings I've actually done in my life?
Have you really?
Yes. I've done several weddings.
Because I didn't think you did.
I've done several weddings, actually. I mean, even as a young kid, I did weddings. I was always a video guy. So yeah, I've done actually, all jokes aside, and this isn't me actually pitching you now, but yes, I have done many weddings in my day. Not more than six.
Just add another pitch to the mix. I've heard about 30 of that over the last month.
I'll undercut everybody for a quick $2,000. Listen, I've done at least, ask Nick. I've done weddings with Nick. Nick and I missed our prom weekend, okay, to go back and do a wedding. I could have had, listen, read between the lines here, Kenzie. I could have had a very good prom weekend up at the shore. Okay, but I opted to be a businessman.
Hey, you got to make money somehow, especially when you're 18.
I don't even think I was 18. I was senior in high school. Maybe I was 17.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've done many weddings, so I understand what needs to be done. I mean, I've gone around and done the interviews. We catch the cutting of the cake and the first dance and all of this. Like I said, then we'll go around with the mic. We'll interview all the guests. We'll cut it all together so I'll have a nice intro package. I've edited weddings for other videographers. I could actually do your wedding video. I don't want to, but I actually could. Now I'm making myself competitive. You see what I just did?
You don't want to.
See what I just did there? Look at that. That's a scam. I just hooked you in. I just don't think you can.
You're turning me into Bridezilla.
I don't think you can afford me is what I'm trying to say. I have it's very expensive.
Whoa. not with everything else I have to pay for.
No, but like all jokes aside, as we started this conversation, I forgot about all that. But yes, yeah. I have done several weddings. A handful. I don't know if those are interchangeable, but yes, I have done weddings. So I could do it. I could do it for you. If you really needed me to do it for you, I would do it for you.
I have to pay for transportation fees and accommodations.
I got
to
pay my way and work now? Next thing you're going to tell me, I got to pay for my dinner. No, you're like, no, just bring your own. I'm filming Kenzie's wedding and I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, you get a Lunchly.
A Lunchly. Oh, yes, the mold. No additional charge. Way to bring it back around. But I could. I actually could do it.
I believe you. I do. I actually do. I feel like just with knowing you, but you've also gotten into like photography over the last couple of years. And I mean, I know you care a lot too about, you know, your camera angles and quality when you're even live streaming just from your phone, you know, but and that's a small piece of it.
Well, I mean, listen, the idea was I was going to grow up and make movies. That was the original plan. So I'd like to think I've always had somewhat of an eye. I think I've always been more of a producer than a writer or even a director. But yeah, even as I'm sitting here talking to you in this moment, I just thought of another wedding that I edited. So yeah, no, it was because when you're younger, right? Like that's the easy thing to do. I was in middle school when I first started setting up linear editing in my dining room. My parents had a dining room in our house that didn't have anything going on. And I got an office table because they were cool with it. They were very supportive. And I got 3 big TVs. And I got a video mixer and some VCRs. And I'm going to get really geeky for a second, but you need a flying erase head on the VCR so that you don't get that like line, that fuzzy line going through the picture when you do editing like that. It's old school stuff. So I had all this equipment set up, all this high-end stuff, and I would make money. Kids would come over and have me edit videos for them for college, for like their tennis tapes. I edited a video for the Northampton Police Department because they wanted a tour done. And when they went to my high school, they said, just go to Royce. He's got better equipment at home than we do. And, you know, so I was always hustling and making money at a young age on video production. And part of that was doing weddings. People would come to me for that. And then obviously occasionally, you know, somebody would call in a favor and you'd be like, oh God, I got to do this wedding. You know, but,
I'm not going to say like it's easy, but you know, a lot of people, if they are trying to save some money on their wedding, like my brother actually studied broadcasting and production at Syracuse last year, and he did a wedding for a couple, and he's never done a wedding before, but they were like, hey, we'll pay you like $500. And he's like, okay. Oh. You know, he had equipment from the school. Like it was like, I don't know. It was some like friend of a friend, and they, you know, just gave him a shot because they were like, well,
they ripped him off for $500 is what they did. Let me tell you something.
I don't know if it was $500.
I know, but if it was, I would have taken that $500 at that age too. And then you realize that it's your time just videoing the wedding is worth more than $500 because the editing takes so much time. Listen, there's one Coldplay song that if I listen to, if I hear it, it just throws me into a flashback of this wedding that I edited for another guy because I was like, I needed work. And he was like, oh, edit this wedding for me. And it was just like all these color filters and just like fancy shots. Like, you know, one of these wedding guys that's like this guy would charge you like $20,000 probably for the wedding package, like super high end stuff in LA, really, really gorgeous looking stuff. But like to edit it, it was like bang your head against the wall. And I'm like, if I ever hear this Coldplay song again, I'm jumping. I don't care where I am, you know. But I understand it. Like but at the end of the day, there is such an open opportunity for a divorce industry. Like I mean, there's so much done with weddings. Why is nobody capitalizing on that? Like divorce parties. I don't mean to be cynical, forgive me, but I'm just saying it's the other half of the business.
I have seen people like, I just got divorced, buy me a drink or something, like swearing that.
Listen, it's the same thing as the funeral business, right? Like, I mean, like they're inevitable businesses for somebody. But yeah, you don't really see a lot of, like Disney should capitalize off of that. Disney should start doing divorces. They're price gouging everything else. Why not?
Right.
Like, and you have like villains there for that. You know what I mean? Just stoking everybody. Like you like a good roast, Kenzie. Just imagine like Disney does divorces where the villains like Maleficent comes and she goes, well, I can see why it didn't work out.
I would love that.
Yeah. You'd pay $30,000 for that. It's a DVC membership.
I mean, if it's something that you like, you know, makes an ounce of this a little bit better, like you're just like, I'll pay whatever at that point.
That's right. Disney, I'll pay whatever they want. I don't care. But you know, you did mention funerals. I think I told you this once, or I talked about this on the live stream. When my grandmother passed away, I remember overhearing the funeral director because like, what do they call the building? I always forget what they call it, where they put the caskets above ground in like a different compartments. Is that a, what is it? Is it called a mausoleum?
Maybe. That sounds right.
Okay, let's just go with that. It doesn't matter. We're not live. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong. They'll tell me later. But he was like, so Mike, it's the funeral. Okay, side note, my mom goes up at the funeral because my grandmother, and I love my grandmother. My grandmother and I were like we got, like she was a theater person. That's where I got my love of the theater. You know, my mom doesn't know anything about theater. And, but anyway, so we always had a connection. And but my grandmother had a life alert that she never used, and she slipped and fell and hit her head when she passed away. She was lying there bleeding out. There was nobody there to help her. Okay, horrible situation. Right?
Yeah.
But my mother gets up at the funeral in West Palm Beach, Florida, where 95% of the people in attendance are over the age of 95. And instead of eulogizing my grandmother, she starts doing a product seminar on LifeLock, or not LifeLock, Life Alert. And she starts telling everybody out there, this is why you need to wear your Life Alert. And like, all of these poor old people in the audience, you would have thought they just saw death. I mean, they pretty much did. But like, I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, and you know, we're Jewish, right? So she's doing this with like the most like feverish of Jewish guilt. And it's in like the hot, like Florida sun. And we're just sitting there. And she's like, and this is why you wear Life Alert. And these old people are like, life is too short for this. Like, I got to go. I don't want to hear this right now from this woman. Like, don't guilt me.
Hey, some of them might have appreciated it, though.
Well, you know, many lives were saved that day. I don't have the actual data, but we'll get it. So anyway, so at the end of the funeral, when all of these people are running away, right, they're running to their cars, they're zooming off in their little rascals, you know. You listen, you've never seen so much dust. These rascals were like, the tires are spinning out. It's like Peter Gunn. You won't get the reference, okay? But they're like flying out of there, okay? And Peter Gunn was a TV show back in the day. And anyway, you would recognize the theme song, I promise. So anyway, the funeral director comes up to my dad and he goes, you know, right next to your mother-in-law, I have an opening. It's prime real estate. I can make you a deal right now if you want to get in on that.
Prime real estate.
No, I'm not joking. And my father's like, oh? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, what is going on right now? I'm like, I understand the value of location. Like, and I'm not even making a joke, right? Because the guy's like, basically like, don't you want your future family member to be buried next to this family member? I can make you a deal today. But I'm like, this is so gross. Like my grandma, like the people are still trying to understand what my mother just said to them. They're still trying to process what the hell happened. And this guy's, the funeral director is trying to, he's like Donald Trump trying to sell you, I don't know, shoes. Like, I mean, like, I'm
what is making a deal with the grim?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm like, dude, like, timing is everything. And like, what are you selling right now? It's nothing.
Hey, they'll never see you another time.
It's a scam. You really gotta listen. Let me tell you something. If you're gonna die, this is the place to be right here. This is prime real estate right next to a loved one. You'll never know it. They'll never know it. But together in eternity, at least you'll have a prime location. Okay. Maybe eventually, with the advent of global warming, this will become waterfront property, too. Boy, will the skyrocket, will the value skyrocket. You know what I mean? So, come on. What is going on in this world? I don't know why I brought Donald Trump into it, but the way this guy was actually very sleazy, but listen, I'm Jewish. I just told you that. These funeral directors, right? A lot of them are Jewish. This guy was like, just so, oh my gosh. I'm like, you're giving us a bad name. Like, you are the kind of guy that gives us a bad name. Like, honestly, like, you're not a good Jew. You're a bad Jew. I'm sorry. Like, this is horrible.
That reminds me of the guy that was trying to sell us on our venue. He just reminded me of like a car salesman. If that just tells you anything.
Yeah,
like,
that's the same. Was his name Joel?
No, but I was pulled on the venue just walking in and like, you know, looking at everything that comes included with the venue, whatever. But like, this guy was walking us around and pointing things out like left and right. And my mom was eating it up. And my mother-in-law, my future mother-in-law, in the back is just like rolling her eyes. She's like, this is a load of crap. Like, she liked the venue too, but she was just like, this guy's full of it. Like, he kept saying, he's like, there's a reason every Friday and Saturday is booked. 152 weddings a year, whatever number he said.
Ew.
And he kept making the reference every time he'd point out something. He's like, 152 weddings every year, fully booked. And I'm like, dude, we get it.
Like, you'd be like, and it's going to stay at 152 because I'm leaving. Here's the thing. He obviously doesn't understand that you're already there, which means you already know that there's value in that place. You don't need to be sold on the value of the place.
I looked at five different venues that day.
Yeah, but how is that a selling point?
Maybe because people are, you know.
Everybody's doing it. You got to have a wedding here. Everybody's jumping off a bridge when they get married. You should do that too.
I'm getting to the point.
What'd you say?
I'm getting to that point.
Yeah, I know, for real. And it'll cost you. Let me tell you something. Any other day of the week, you want to jump off a bridge, it's free. But if you're getting married and jumping off of a bridge, there's like a $10,000 deposit, and it's non-refundable.
Right. And a champagne toast at the end.
I think I tried to sell you. I told you to do a potluck. I told you, and what was your answer?
No.
You said no because of everybody touches everything. And I said, well, I can rent you Purell stations. And then you and I had a full-on negotiation over text message about these Purell stations. Now, here's the thing. If you would have said yes, like let's just make believe that you would have said yes, I would have gone out and gotten the Purell stations, and then it wouldn't have been a scam, but it would have been a real business. It was only if I didn't show up that it would have been bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
But then I told you that I have to fill the Purell station.
No, I told you that because you told me I had to be in and out in like 60 minutes, which is absurd. Okay. I have to at least be able to.
I'm literally being charged an extra fee for like a short like turnaround for a setup. Like within 60 minutes, I'm being charged.
Excuse me.
Because it's going to take.
Excuse me. I'm in a 16-foot box truck with a lift gate. You don't even have a loading dock. I have to take everything down a back hallway through the kitchen. I need more time. Can you tell I've done this before? Because with the arcade games, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I've done arcades for weddings, too. Oh, my God. Oy vey, Ismir Kenzie.
Wait, that sounds cool.
Oh, I've done it. I remember I did this huge wedding in Simi Valley. Gorgeous venue. It was like called the Vineyards, I think. And we put like skee balls out on the deck overlooking the valley, and just like a line of arcade games.
Wait, I want this.
Huh?
What? Wait, I want this now.
It's an add-on to my videography package.
And the Purell station.
Yeah, it turns out I have a lot more wedding experience than I realized.
You sound like all my other vendors. You have all these additional services that don't come with the original package.
125 services. 125 services. 125 weddings, Kenzie. 650,000 followers. You want me to repeat that? Are you hooked? Are you sold?
And every additional service has a setup fee or a service charge of 22% because that's what I'm paying for.
Maybe the guy just had Tourette's. He's just vomiting data points at you. Four exit doors. 62 parking spaces. 62 parking spaces. 10,000 cars a year. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Where else are you going to get married that can accommodate 10,000 cars a year? Are you alive?
There's bathrooms in the back for all of your guests. There's three stalls per bathroom.
That's not enough. How many people are you having?
200. Oh, I don't know how many stalls there are. I wasn't paying attention to that. Just throwing it out there.
Listen, I could fake wedding plan with you all day. This is fun.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Okay, wait. I have to like totally pivot here before we run out of time.
Okay.
Because, you know, you and I have these conversations, and I was trying to figure out, we were talking about something the other day. And I started to scroll back, actually, and read this wedding conversation and realize I could not find what I was looking for and did not realize how long that wedding conversation went. I kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I'm like, oh, my God, Kenzie and I must have spent 20 minutes having a fake conversation about everything we just talked about. And so anyway, but I was trying to remember because you brought it up, and I don't remember how you brought this up. This is like a total shift in conversation.
Okay.
I don't even have a way to make this transition. That is the transition, okay?
I'm here for it. Yep, that's it.
Why do we have to talk about Mac and Me? I can bring it into the current pop culture zeitgeist because Conan O'Brien's hosting the Oscars, okay? And I saw something.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, this is what reminded me about Mac and Me because when I couldn't find it the other day in our text messages and I asked you, I happened, like, the next day, I was looking, and I was reading something, and somebody was like, oh, my God, Conan O'Brien's hosting the Oscars. Paul Rudd has the chance to do the funniest thing ever. And if you know anything about what that means, Paul Rudd used to have this joke on Conan around the movie Mac and Me, and Mac and Me was like an E.T. ripoff. But prior to all of that, you brought up Mac and Me, and I don't know why.
feel like that was in like an Instagram DM or something. If you're trying to scroll back in text, I know it's, I don't think it's there. I don't think that's where we had that conversation. Did you send me something about like, oh, well, and now I'm looking at that. Oh, there it is. Sorry. I'm totally pivoting too. You sent me a clip on Instagram about Kevin Neal.
Kevin Neal, yeah.
Like, I know you're rolling your eyes. I know you're rolling your eyes, but I said I wasn't always a fan of Toadman, but him and Paul Rudd together are the best.
You're cutting
and
out.
Said Mac and me. Oh my God, podcast conversation.
Okay, all right. This makes perfect sense now. Thank you. You're cutting out though. I don't know if you're moving around. I sent Kenzie a clip of Kevin Neal and Conan O'Brien because Kevin Neal was telling a story about the first time he met his wife. Okay. And I'm not going to repeat it because it's just, there's no way you can top his dry delivery. It's just a really, really funny bit. And I sent it to a couple people and I thought Kenzie would appreciate it. And, you know, in the context of not just the wedding, but just in the context of funny things, whatever. So you wrote back, oh my God, I love Conan. Or what'd you say? Like, I like Paul Rudd on Conan or whatever. He's the best, something like that.
I said I wasn't like I'm not a huge fan of Conan, but him and Paul Rudd together are the best. Because I know about the Mac and Me like bit that they have going back and forth.
Well, so I was obsessed with Mac and Me as a child. And so I watched it endlessly as a child. Like, okay. So
this was a joke. I've never seen this movie.
All right. So this is why I appreciate that bit with Paul Rudd so much. So my father, workaholic, multiple jobs, including a real estate agent. So there were often times when he was doing open houses, he would take me along, right? And I'd just be sitting in the kitchen and he'd be doing open houses, right? It was just one of those things. I grew up with, like, you know, being schlepped to the real estate office all the time, you know? And this lady was there with her son, and I don't know if she was, what her deal was or what she did. I don't know, okay? But she's walking around looking at the house and her son must have been like 8 years old. Her son starts the car and starts to drive away with her car. So she starts running out the front door, but she's obviously like, this is not like the first time this has happened. This is a problem she has. Wherever she goes, her 8 year old son starts to take the car and drive off with it. Like, lady, maybe don't leave the keys with the kid. I don't understand what part of that's lost on you, but okay, fine. So it becomes a whole freak out situation and she feels terrible. And she opens up her trunk and she's got, I guess she sold videos or she had a video rental store. I don't know. But she felt so bad, she gave me a little gift and it was the movie Mac and Me.
Oh my gosh.
And I watched this movie on repeat. Mac and Me is an E.T. ripoff, okay? And the scene that Paul Rudd plays for Conan whenever he's promoting a movie is when the kid in the wheelchair is freaking out and he goes barreling down the hill and the brake on the wheelchair rips out and, like, you think he's going to die and I think he winds up in the water and Mac saves him. And they go on a whole adventure together and, you know, they go to McDonald's and Mac gets inside of a teddy bear costume and does a whole dance on the counter. I love Mac and Me, but it's so lame. It's so cheap. So we talked about last week on the radio shows in some form or another, how the way that the industry works is like, if there's like a big, like hit, like a big cultural hit, people will glom onto it. You want to talk about scams, right? People will glom onto it. So when E.T. comes out, now there's a trend, and you could, and back in those days, because you could, we've talked about this before, because you could pre-sell a movie, you're like, look, if we make this alien movie for this amount of money and get it out quick enough, we can ride the bump that we're getting from this hit movie, like an E.T., and if we just keep the numbers within this budget, we've got a business. So that's how a lot of things got done. It was like, oh, this movie Jurassic Park is coming out. Let's put out a dinosaur movie, you know? And even if it's direct to video, when people are walking down the shelf and they can't get a copy of Jurassic Park, ours is sitting right there. If we only capture, you know, I'm making up a number. If we only capture, you know, 0.1% of the market at this expenditure, we're still going to make a profit. So that's kind of how things work, you know?
And, like the Hunger Games and like Divergent and whatever that Maze Runner movie is.
But that's a little more on the nose. That's more like Deep Impact and Armageddon. Those are more like obvious because those are big, like big studio things. I'm talking about like the secondary market that's there to like capture things. So Mac and Me like existed in that space. Mac, I don't know who, I think Mac and Me might've been made by Orion. So at least it might've had a studio tied to it, but it was an ET ripoff. That's the bottom line. That's the simplest way to put it. It was an ET ripoff, but it's a cult hit. And Paul Rudd had that, what, for like 15 years on Conan would do that.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. If anybody hasn't seen it, you have to look it up on YouTube. It's hysterical. But now I'm seeing, as I'm Googling it, that Mac and Me is on Netflix.
That's so funny.
Like I have to go watch it. But the funniest thing,
I bet you that won't buffer because you'll be the only one connecting to it.
Yeah, no kidding. But that's how this all ties back together. No, Mac and Me has a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
hey, that's pretty good. Hey, like I told you, they don't
consideration.
They knew they were getting a 7% when they made that movie, and Rotten Tomato, the internet didn't even exist. But hey, listen, they didn't make that movie thinking they were getting, you know, they were like 7% was probably great for them. They're like, damn, 7%, we made profit.
The movie had a $13 million budget.
Yeah, and so if the movie made $30 million, and if they doubled their money, everybody's happy. They had McDonald's in there. McDonald's probably cut them a fat check. They probably convinced Listen, you want to talk about a skip?
Except for the,
So when the first, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, I think everybody's happy except the 93% that were disappointed on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it was the first Star Trek movie was like all talking heads. Okay. And it's really funny because I keep telling everybody, you know, we're doing these radio shows. And I said, I want to talk about everything. But even in this conversation with you, Kenzie, and I say this all the time, everything really is connected, okay? Especially when we're starting to talk about the things we're talking about, right? So
yeah,
I'm talking about Star Trek, all right? The first Star Trek movie was done at Paramount. You know who was running Paramount at the time? Michael Eisner. No. Okay. So it's all connected. So when this movie, and this is, we're going to talk about scams for a second. So this movie is all talking heads and it's abysmal. And the woman in charge of marketing knows she can't show anything to advertisers because there's just nothing to show. So she decides in an advertiser presentation to like beam up a bunch of Klingons on the stage and just do a whole bunch of smoke and mirrors. And, like, she wowed the advertisers. So I don't remember if it was McDonald's or who else it was. I think it was McDonald's and Coca-Cola, maybe both. I don't know. Signed up right away. Like, she just blew the ad presentation out of the water, and they took a bunch of money, and this movie came out, and it was just a snooze fest. I mean, it did okay, and they were able to make sequels, but it was all smoke and mirrors. They didn't have a product to sell. Does it sound familiar? Right?
Yeah.
But she sold it to the advertisers. She walks out of the meeting, and Michael Eisner goes, congratulations, you just killed it. You're now head of motion pictures. She goes, what? She goes, I don't know anything about making movies. And he goes, none of us do. And he just walked away. And she got promoted because she sold the scam with great success.
Yep.
So, you know. So there's Mac and Me, right? They were probably like, McDonald's, sign up for this. It's the next big ET. No. But I adored it. I adored cheesy in it.
Whatever. They didn't lose any money from it.
Do you even know the hand gesture in Mac and Me? You put your hands up together and you make like an open cup, almost like you're like a UNICEF logo. And yeah. Okay.
The only part of Mac and Me I've seen is when Paul Rudd shows it on Conan's show.
It's hilarious. Listen, I got Conan stories to tell. I'm going to tell them next week on the radio show because I worked with Conan's production company at one point. Conan's so tall. Oh my God. If you think Conan's tall and then you see him in person, I mean, Conan's like a tower. And like,
he's 6'4".
Oh my God. No, he looks like 7 feet in person. He's massive. But I have a story. I'll save those for next week. I'll also probably, and the feedback's been amazing, Kenzie. And I really hope that we can build this whole thing together. I think it's one big operation. And the amount of feedback I got off of last week, the amount of feedback I've gotten off of your participation in this podcast, you know, we've got now the radio replays and we have the weekly podcast. It's working already very quickly. The response has just been above and beyond from folks that have been listening and watching from day one. So I think we're doing the right thing here.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's been fun, and I feel like it was something that, you know, we walked in with somewhat of a plan, but we knew that it was just going to evolve over time, and I think it's been great.
Yeah. Watch what we do in a year. I'm telling you, in a year, we're going to break the top 20. Okay, I think there'll be a rebranding at some point, logically. I'm not worried about that stuff. I only say that because I can hear the comments. You should really change your name. Don't you hate Disney? Don't you hate Disney? My favorite, and I'll leave you with this because I'll rail on this Monday. I posted that video because I was live the other day, and I got a scoop that the People Mover's shutting down. And
yeah,
the only reason I posted the video, Kenzie, was because, you know, one of these nudniks like Tom is going to go out there eventually and report it. So I just wanted for my own ego to put the video up and cement the truth that I scooped it on a live, because I'm just so tired of scooping things on a live and watching other people report them. And I'm not saying they're taking them from me. I'm just saying by the virtue of being live, like I remember pointing out on the live, the shrink wrap garbage cans for the hurricane. And then DFB makes a post on Twitter about it and it gets tons of views. And I'm like, I'm not saying they took that from me. I'm just saying when you're live, you kind of do these things in real time and don't get the benefit of making the video. So I took the moment to make the video. I was streaming when I shot that video. My other hand is holding the stream, and I just hit mute, shot the video, and when I was in line for Haunted Mansion, I edited the video and posted it. Because I just...
Listen,
the source, you couldn't have a better source, okay? I'm rolling the dice. I'm not a news outlet. I feel very, very good with the information. You would have done the same thing, all right? And if I'm wrong... Mm-hmm. Whatever, you would have done the same thing, okay? If the house of cards collapses because the information was bad, the source was the best possible source you could have, which is a person that works on the attraction, all right? So don't tell me it's clickbait. I just put it out there so when it finally does get reported and people could say Royce reported it first, there's actually evidence. It was a pure desire for ego. I'm just being honest. It was pure, like, for my ego. Like, hey, I scooped this. Let me put that out there so that when people can look back, there's proof that I scooped it. Because I've scooped things before, all right, and not had evidence. So, yeah, I'm just being real with you. A little ego there. Yeah, Roy scooped it. All right? It wasn't that guy, Tom. I don't even really have an issue with Tom. I just think it's funny to pick on him because I don't like punching down. I could punch down on these Disney Park streamers all day long. That's boring. It's more fun to punch up at a shill like him because he's very successful at what he does. He's just a lunatic. Yeah, he was on Twitter.
We should get him on the podcast.
No, I'd rather get somebody on the podcast that'll tell me stories about Tom. Okay, I'll use a voice changer and it'll be like one of those like,
I used to work for Tom. Did you know that he wears ladies' underwear?
You know what I mean? Like
that impression.
Yeah. So, no, that's not my impression of Tom. That's the voice changer on the whistleblower. Like,
I used to work with Tom. He eats all of the cake in his reviews by himself. His wife doesn't get any cake. He doesn't know how to share.
You know what I mean? Like, I would love that kind of interview. He doesn't look like the sharing type. He doesn't look like the kind of... He said the other day that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is one of the top 10 Disney rides around the world. He deserves to be picked on.
Oh, my God.
Can I say this, and then I'll let you go?
Yeah, go for it.
I was waiting for you to say no, honestly. I was really waiting for you to say no.
I thought about it. That's why I hesitated.
I know. I felt it, too. I really wish you would have.
We're unfiltered here.
Yeah.
Just say it.
No, please don't. No, it's not that big of a deal. But I went on the ride the other day, and, like, that ride has way too much exposition. If you can't convey the story through the ride just by people experiencing it, and you have to lean on exposition, then you know you missed the mark. I was on that ride the other day for the first time in a long time, and it's like you're being carried through the storyline. Like, oh, wow, these will make some good musicians for our show. Oh, my God, we're on the way to the party. Oh, it's time to shrink you for a half a second before we make you large again for no reason. I can't even understand why. And then you're like, up, what goes up must come down. Here we go. Way to make a splash. You're like, you're carrying me through the story with exposition. If I gave you a movie like that, you would not watch.
No, for real. Actually, the first time I rode Tiana's, my sister looked at me and said, do you want me to explain to you what happens in the ride? And I was like, no, what, you would spoil it. And she goes, no, you're going to miss it. Like, she had to tell me beforehand so I could actually enjoy, like, walking through the storyline instead of trying to figure out, like, what is going on here.
No, and I don't understand why you shrink down for half a second. Why did we need to do that? Why couldn't we have just gone where we went at the same scale?
I don't know.
No, I don't get it.
I felt like they just, I mean, you and I both said that this just went up so quickly, and maybe it was a little, can I say half-assed?
Yeah, no, because it was. And that's the problem with what they're doing here domestically, is they're cutting corners everywhere. I have so many notes. You know, you would think that maybe there isn't enough to talk about. I want to talk about everything on the radio show. People call in, talk about anything, not just Disney, but just every single day as I accumulate notes for things to talk about, not just with you here, but just beyond, it's endless. It's endless. Yeah. And there's so many things that are going on in the world of Disney, no pun intended, that are absurd. And you look at, like, we talked about this, but you look at, like, that Haunted Mansion gift shop they built, and you're like, who signed off on that?
Right.
Where's the theme? Like, theme used to mean something. I know it's only an amusement park. It's only a theme park. I understand that in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important. But if that's what we're discussing, it shocks me when they miss the mark, when you know it's not that hard. Like, it's almost like you got to work harder to underperform.
Right.
Kind of like Netflix the other night. Like, all you really had to do was have a good signal. Everybody would have forgiven the nature of the fight with good connectivity, right? They got a great show leading up to it with the ladies. That ticket, that was crazy, right? So if you would have just given everybody a good user experience, then everybody would have given you a pass on the fight, because most people knew in their heart of hearts that's what they were going to watch. But everybody wanted to be entertained, right? But you're not even
right, buffering.
But I'm not right. It becomes stressful. It's a stressful when being entertained becomes stressful, then you've lost the plot of your product.
Right.
That's why Fyre Festival failed. These people would have been thrilled if you would have just given them what they really needed, which was just a dry place to stay, some decent food, and some loud music and booze. They would have forgiven everything else.
Yeah,
it's user experience. It's perceived value. I talk about perceived value almost every single day. And I don't understand, again, why it's okay to allow any company to extort the consumer. Okay, not just once, not just twice, but as a business model. Because that's it. That business model, that's the beginning of Netflix. Do you think they're going to solve those latency issues? No. Maybe over time. They don't care. You're not canceling your Netflix. Let me tell you, I signed up last night for it just because we were watching it together, and I canceled it as soon as I signed up for it. You know?
You're probably not the only one.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I'll probably now go challenge the $15 because of the connectivity issues, and everybody else should too. Everybody call your credit card company, report it to Netflix, open up a ticket, you know? And if people start doing things like that, instead of just sitting by idly and accepting it, then maybe you'll make a difference. But it's all the same for me. At the end of the day, It's take, 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 take. There used to be quality. You used to buy something, and it used to be made to last. Now it's made to break so that you buy another one.
100%.
You work in healthcare, you know, they're not there to take care of you. They're there to fill beds in that hospital. It's a business. They need asses in those beds. I remember hearing, I think it was Elliot Spitzer of all people who we've talked about last week on the radio show. I remember him on Bill Maher once saying he walked into a hospital with like some administrator and he saw empty beds and he said, "This is fantastic." And they said, "No, it's horrible. Like, we need to fill these beds." And he's like, "No, it should be fantastic because, you know, if we're doing our job right, these beds should be empty."
Uh-huh.
That's not healthcare, though.
I know. It's everything's a business.
I get it, but like a little humanity, no?
Yeah, I know. It's easy for people to lose sight of that. It's very easy.
But, you know, I don't want to go into an ER or a hospital because I don't want to get sick, as stupid as that sounds. So I'm going to wait until I really need to go in there because, like, I think more times than not, the experience isn't what it's supposed to be, meaning I'm not going in there and I'm walking out with a solution. I'm either going to go in there, right, be given a bunch of BS and be price gouged, right, so they can run up my bill and run up my insurance. Okay, or I'm going to sit in the waiting room all day long because they're doing it to somebody else that's more valuable. So I'm not actually getting what I need. I gave up on the ER.
Sounds like you've been to a hospital before.
Oh, I gave up in the ER. Well, I had two hernias back in the day.
Yeah.
And I remember what I went through with the hernias in the ER room. Like I'm talking about, like, they gave me Kenzie, I had a hernia that was so small that instead of trying to find it, they just sent me away with pills for months on end. And, like, finally I went to another specialist who was able to identify it. You know, I just went through, I've gone through my fair share of torture in the hospital.
The ER is there to just put a Band-Aid on it and then send you off.
But that's Western medicine as a whole.
Yeah.
Western medicine doesn't attack the problem. Western medicine puts a Band-Aid on it. That's also how our culture functions, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I know people don't like talking about politics. I don't really care. I do. That's how they legislate. Nobody solves problems. They just create solutions on the back end. Nobody's actually solving things up front. Everybody's just finding these back end solutions in our culture for all these issues. Nobody actually wants to attack the root of the problem. Most of these problems, and we're not going to get into them all right now, are systemic. What does that mean? You got to go to the root. You got to go to the root, but if you don't go to the root, just keep cutting off the leaves. What are you really doing? You're just pruning weeds, leaves, weeds, whatever. You get the analogy. I'm not a botanist. Leave me alone. But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do. We're not fixing anything. We're potentially creating more problems.
You're talking about me and you personally right now?
Hey. You brought up the whole wedding thing. You just unleashed me.
Listen, we'll talk about it at all. You know me. Like, and I get it. And, like, obviously, like, nobody doesn't want you to have, like, the best possible experience and make the memories for a lifetime and all of that. But why does it have to be at the cost of a house?
Right.
Like, why? Like, in other words, there's – it's kind of like the Disney conversation. You don't have to charge one person, like – everything in the world. You don't have to take all the money from one person. There's plenty of people in the world that are going to get married. Like, you don't have to take all the money from one person. You could actually make it accessible for more people. Wouldn't you rather take a dollar from everyone in the world rather than try to find one person to take all the money from?
Right.
One is scalable. One is not.
Yeah. And if you are going to charge people all this money, like, going back to everything that we talked about, like, it needs to be good quality. It needs to be what you're paying for. It needs to all add up at the end of the day to match the amount that you're paying. Because, like, it's just crazy.
you showed me a quote for like the DJ or something. And I'm like, the price for the equipment to rent the equipment is the price to buy equipment. And I understand that. Like, that's the rental game. I get it. But that's a line item in a larger package. Like, why do you need to gouge all the way through? First of all, let's be honest. Band. It was a band, right? And I said to you, I said, first of all, like, it's not like you booked Hootie and the Blowfish, okay? These are like four retired gym teachers, okay, that have got together to do weddings. And they're charging you like it's the Rolling Friggin' Stones.
I know. And honestly, let me just say this one thing and then we can wrap it up. I found out something about this band yesterday, that they operate like a talent agency. You're not getting the same people that you might see at another event. They literally have a lineup of people that they just put together and throw out to event, like a wedding. Like, they could have four different bands under this one like talent agency at four different weddings. Like, you're not getting, like, the same guitarist that you saw last week. They might be at another wedding down the street. But at your wedding, it's going to be somebody else that was on this, like, lineup that they have. So, like...
Isn't that, like, the Wiggles business model? like, yeah, you go see the Wiggles, but it's not, like, the Wiggles. It's, like, some Wiggles.
Yeah, like... I heard that and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, just get the Wiggles. You'll be fine. They're available. There's plenty of them. Everybody can be a Wiggle. That's just silly.
You just have to have really tight pants and a turtleneck.
Listen, I told you for $10,000, you can get Snoop. Now, that's $10,000 just to get him to hang out and party. But let me tell you something.
Wait a second. Your price went up.
No, $10,000, you can get Snoop.
Oh.
Snoop Dogg. He'll come to your party for 10 G's. But I'm not saying he's performing for 10 G's, but I'm saying with an open bar and, you know, maybe some vegetables, if you catch my drift, maybe he'll perform anyway.
Right.
A little acapella gin and juice. 10 G's Snoop at your wedding. Far better than whatever this band is.
But I have to provide the mic.
For Snoop?
Yeah, that my venue doesn't have any AV equipment.
Nah. Snoop can project out. He's got a diaphragm. He's good. He knows what he's doing. He's a pro.
True, true.
No, but it's like you come on. I mean, and you're so now you don't even know who you're getting. Like, you might get the B team because they got somebody to pay more, so they sent the better people to the more expensive customer, to the higher paying customer.
I mean, needless to say, we're not going with this band.
All right, listen, hear me out. Ellis and a tambourine. And, like, let him sing Blue Moon. It'll be fantastic.
I don't think
they need a tambourine in Blue Moon, but I just think Ellis could do wonders with a tambourine, you know? I think Ellis could do anything he puts his heart to.
Absolutely.
Or his mind.
I think we all know that.
One or the other. Maybe both. He's something else. Did you know he was 10 years old when he saw The Wizard of Oz?
I heard you say that. Like, he has an age.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, like, what is your secret, dude? I mean, honestly, they should put him in charge of the Department of Health. I mean, obviously. I mean, this guy is, like, older than Yoda, and he looks fabulous.
Something's working.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. For all the jokes I make about Ellis has more commitment to getting things done, whether what he's choosing to get done is, you know, of worth is another story. Like me going to ride Peter Pan, whatever it may be. But like Ellis's ability to get what he wants, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he's got follow through. Ellis gets, he'll pick up the phone and ask for something. He's
very persistent.
Yes, thank you. That's the word. I've hired people. I've paid people that don't have that kind of follow through. Now, again, I'm not saying he's going to deliver an arcade game for me. Okay, because those were the kind of people I was hiring. But he'll certainly nag somebody else to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he knows what he wants and he's going to do it.
All right. Listen, we've said it all and we've gone way over. I mean, way over.
Yeah.
And I do not get paid overtime for this.
What about for weddings?
For the wedding? Oh, yeah. Well, it's in my rate. It's in, you know, there's a retainer. Remember?
Of course. The additional service fee.
Absolutely. All right. Listen, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you Monday. You know, one of these days, Kenzie, you just call in. Like, call in on a, like a, when you're like, got a moment during the week.
When people, I'm not working.
Yeah, people would love to hear from you. Listen, they love you. The response to having you here, you know, I take all the credit because it was my idea to invite you to do this. But you're fantastic, and the response has been really, really great. So thank you for being here, and we'll go on that journey with you. I just think at some point you really do need to send me that budget because I could have a field day. Like, I'll just start cutting stuff. I'm like, no, appetizers only, finger foods, and everybody goes home. That's it. One drink, piggies in a blanket, some cake, some dancing, we're out.
Listen, I just need you to hold me accountable to doing this April Fool's joke on Brian.
Oh, yes.
That's really what we're talking about here.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to hate me even more. Okay. All right. I will see. Between him and your sister, you know what I mean? I'm persona non grata, so I'm just making up stories.
I love it.
Anyway, all right. I appreciate you. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.